listening to Broke and How to Fix It with Bobby Siegel.
Welcome to Broke and How to Fix It on FUBAR Radio with me, Bobby Siegel. And each week we are here to educate and help inform you about the world of money and give you tiny tips and tricks and great guest interviews from a range of experts so that you feel more equipped to manage the money in your back pocket. And this week we've got such a great set of guests. We've got Ola Magica-Deme, who's the founder of All Things Money. And we also have Vix Leighton, who is a consumer finance expert, host of the Spendology podcast, and also a comedian. So that should hopefully give us some amusing stuff too. So this week, the focus is all about budgeting when life isn't predictable. And sometimes when you mention the word budgeting, I know, listener, you're thinking, oh no, Bobby, this is really boring. But actually, it doesn't have to be boring because you can make it in such a way that actually helps you live a better life. Because what's really going on here is with budgeting, people sometimes think it's about spreadsheets and, like, you know, all these Excel and documents. And actually, it's not about that. It's about being aware and being in control. Because what the stats tell us is that nearly 40% of UK adults don't budget at all. That's 2 in 5 adults that don't budget. But actually, there is hope. Is if you go to younger people, about 70% of Gen Z, they say they actually set a financial budget. And that's actually significantly higher than the older generations. But even when people budget, so that's, you know, they've had the mental determination to set a budget, sticking to it can be a challenge. Because if you look at the under 35s, they actually overshoot their budget by about £108 a month. So it can be a challenge. And I think with budgeting, it doesn't mean that you've got to track every single matcha latte and coffee, because then it looks boring and it looks painful and people avoid it. But I think it's a bigger issue about how do you manage uncertainty, because obviously our income and costs can change. We know that there's rising costs in this environment. Our housing, our rent, our mortgage, our energy, our food costs. These things are ticking up all the time. And actually with money can be emotional. When we spend, you know, if you're feeling stressed or you want to reward yourself, you will spend money. And actually that's where budgeting can really come in, because it's not about restricting yourself. It's not like a diet where you're like, oh, I can't spend anything. I think it's just knowing where your money is heading so you feel more intentional. Because ultimately, I say as an educator and a math teacher, when you can see the numbers in front of you, I think the story becomes clearer. And hopefully today, you'll feel more confident with managing your budget. And this week, to open up the subject of budgeting, we've got two really knowledgeable guests. We've got Ola Magica-Deme, who's the founder of All Things Money. And also we have Vix Leighton, who is a consumer finance expert and the host of the Spendology podcast. But also that, she is a comedian. It's time for our listener reality check, where each week I post out a comment on my social media and get your responses to see what's really going on the ground. And the question I posed this week was, do you actually budget or just react when things get tight? And I had a great set of responses, so thank you so much. Peter mentioned, I've budgeted nearly all my life. I learned a hard lesson that credit cards do not equal money. Thank you, Peter. And that's right, credit cards are designed for us to spend a lot, and they can be useful, but it's not actually your money. James says, I track every penny. Thank you, James. That is, again, if you're someone that does that, it clearly puts you in good stead. Philip says, yes, we have different savings pots for major expenses like car, home maintenance, holidays. It isn't foolproof, but it works pretty well. Well, Philip, there are a lot of people that love having those pots, because like in the old days with money jars, you can put things in and it just gives you that comfort. You know where things are heading. Clinton, yes, I do budget, but mostly fail, but I keep trying. I try to go by the 50-30-20 rule, but sometimes necessities and luxuries can either be a grey area or they can eat into each other, so I should really go by the 80-20 rule. Thanks, Clinton. We know there are various rules about how much you should allocate to bills and saving and investments. 50-30-20, 80-20. But the key thing is, if you've got one of these things, at least it gives you a discipline. Jordan says, I am awful with money. I squint in trepidation each time I check my account. Fail at adulting. Well, Jordan, I'm really sorry to hear that you feel that way. But I'll tell you what, we live in a climate where there's inflationary costs, wages aren't rising, house prices and rents are through the roof. So don't feel bad about it. It's actually much more common than you think. But thank you for taking the time to share your perspectives. We're coming up to a break, but make sure you come and tune back in because we've got Ola Madkademe, the founder of All Things Money.
Broke and How to Fix It with Bobby Seagull.
This week on Broke and How to Fix It, we are joined by someone very special, a really important financial educator in the UK. It's Ola Madkademe. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Bobby, how are you?
Yes, it's a real delight because I've been on Ola's All Things Money podcast before and we had a really good conversation. So now we're like returning. It's like a circle of life. You're joining us here. You are All Things Money. That's your brand. Yes. When did you first learn about money?
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, I think my first proper interaction with money and actually being aware of it was when I was 17, had my first job, and I was like, okay, I'm earning money. I've now got to pay for car insurance. How am I going to do that? How am I going to budget my income so I can actually afford it? So I think that's my real, I guess, tangible memory of actually being responsible with money and actually realizing, okay, this is cash that I need to learn how to use wisely and responsibly.
Yeah, wisely and responsibly, something that all of us adults could do with as well. But then so how did you go from that to starting the All Things Money during lockdown? Because that's obviously a big step from being someone that takes care of themselves to advising lots of other people.
Yeah, very true. So I guess all of my friends will probably say that I'm like the cheap friend, quote unquote. I just think I'm frugal and quite disciplined. But during university, I was very mindful of how to manage my finances. So I kind of knew how to budget and I knew how to save. But it wasn't until like my final year of university I read about how to actually invest, and this whole other world kind of opened itself to me. And so learning how to invest, graduated university, finally had the cash to invest. And it was only when I realized how easy it was to actually get started did I actually want to help other young adults do the same. And then All Things Money was born during lockdown.
And did you find that budgeting was one of the early things that you wanted to help explain to young people?
Yes, very much so, because I feel like you can't really start saving, you can't start investing, you can't even buy your own property unless you have a budget. You need to know what's coming in and going out.
And why do you think this as a topic, budgeting, does feel like this scary monster, intimidating monster for young people?
Because it sounds boring, but I always try and flip it on its head, and I'm actually like, rather than thinking it of something that's boring and restrictive, see it as a tool that allows you to actually afford all the fun things in life. So I'm someone that loves to go traveling, and so I'm always like, a budget allows me to save towards my travels, or a budget allowed me to get my first property. So I think we need to change our perception of what a budget actually is and what it means.
Yeah, because I think you're right. It can sound a bit boring, but actually it can lead to more fun things, which we'll discuss shortly. But for someone, a listener who's never budgeted before, they're thinking, oh, no, I'm listening to Ola. I need to listen to... Yeah. Can I call you Auntie Ola? It's not Auntie, it's a mark of respect, but like young Auntie Ola. But what would you tell them if they want to budget?
So I think it comes down to working out what's coming in and what's going out. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like I work with a lot of people that always say that, like, I want to save or I want to invest, but they don't know how much they can afford to save and invest. So you need to know what's coming in, what's going out, and what disposable income you have left over once you've deducted your expenses from your income.
But for some people, especially younger people, when their income is really topsy-turvy, how do they plan to budget?
So I think when you have, like, I guess anything when it comes to a budget is being clear, looking at your finances. And like I said, you need to work out what all your income, all your expenses. And people hate to do this, but you need to do it. And once you deduct your expenses from your income, I personally recommend having a weekly budget. So this is something I do myself. So I, on a monthly basis, work out my expenses that leave my account, break my disposable income down into weekly chunks. So it just allows me to kind of manage my money on a weekly basis. So I don't end up getting to the end of the month and realizing I spent all of my income within the first week of the month. So I think having that weekly budget can be really handy. Or on the other end, you can have something called the 50-30-20 budgeting method, where 50% of your income goes towards your needs, you got 30% goes to the fun stuff, and then 20% is future use that can be saving or investing. I know a lot of young people like that kind of category.
So explain that again. That's called the 50-30-20 rule.
Yeah.
And why is that really popular among sort of like those in finance?
I think it's because a lot of people like to have set categories for their finances. I'm not really someone that's all for hard and fast rules, but I think a lot of people like to know, okay, 50% has to go to this, 20% has to go to savings, 30% has to go to up to my fun needs. But I guess also what's good about that is that you can adjust those categories as well. So it doesn't have to be so rigid. You can do like a, you're the maths guy, but you could do a 60, 30, 10
Yeah, I
split. You
like
could do a
this.
70, 30, 10 split. I'm not even going to embarrass myself any further with the quick maths, but you get the gist.
Again, budgeting, there's no one rule that fits all. But with budgeting, obviously there's actual budgeting, what you're talking about, and then people that track their spending. Is there a little difference between the two?
I wouldn't say there's a real difference, no, but I think when it comes to tracking your spending, I guess you're just kind of being mindful about how much you're actually spending on a regular basis. So I know that there's people I've worked with before that are maybe huge impulse spenders and probably don't realize how much they're spending on a regular basis, whether that's because they've got a matcha addiction or because they
What
do
are you trying to
scroll
say about matcha
on
addictions? I don't like this. Nothing wrong with it.
No judgment here, but I think it's really important to be mindful of, okay, if I do have these vices or I do like to spend my money in certain areas, I need to know how much I'm spending, just because it will allow me to see, okay, if I'm not hitting goals, that might be the reason why. And so I think tracking your spending is really important because it allows you to adjust just your spending habits as well.
So if people are on this budgeting journey, what are the sort of mistakes that are commonly made?
Firstly, not looking at your bank account. I know so many people that bury their head in the sand. And look, I get it. I do understand. Looking at your finances sometimes can be really scary, really overwhelming, especially if you maybe overspent one month or you've had to pay like a huge bill for repairs or something. But not checking your bank account is really dangerous, just because you need to know where you're at financially. So I think that's the biggest mistake, firstly. And then secondly, I feel like people's perception on budgeting, people often think that it is restrictive. And I think the mindset of budgeting, if you see it as restrictive, then you won't want to do it. And if you don't budget, then we end up overspending. So I think it's really important to reframe what a budget is. It's just a spending plan for your money. So you know where your money is going every single week, every single month, so you can achieve those goals. So I think those are the two biggest mistakes I see with budgeting.
So, like, even if you've got that positive attitude where they don't see it as restrictive, how do people manage that fun that you already discussed? Like, whether it's nights out, whether it's going on holidays, or whether it's, buying their matches. How can we balance fun and not feel bad about it with budgeting?
So that's where I think a lot of people enjoy the 50-30-20, because you do have that allocation specifically for your fun. But if you're someone like me who just kind of gives themselves a weekly budget, I think just working out, let me put my expenses to one side and have a weekly disposable allowance to enjoy, to save for my future needs. I think that's really important. So even if you maybe don't do the 50-30-20 rule, I always kind of recommend to try and aim for around 10 to 20% every single month for future you. That can go to your future holiday, that can go towards your first car, etc., etc. So I think having that allocation of your finances can be really useful.
That's a really good framework. So the future you is not right now, but someone that will thank you later. It could be in a year, it could be in 5 years. I think sometimes people think budgeting is like, oh, it's when I'm older and I'm settled down. But actually, everyone, even if you're like at college and uni, you can still budget then. So, again, if someone's a young person or an older person and they've got a really tight budget, but suddenly there's an unexpected cost. It could be, let's say, the boiler breaks down or you've got your annual travel card bill like jumps up. How does a budget cope?
So a budget coach, because we are, if you have been listening to my tips for the last few moments, you'll know that you've got that savings pot to fall back on. And I think having that savings pot is really important, especially because when you're an adult, there's loads of things you can't account for sometimes. And so, like we just discussed, future you will thank you for having that savings pot. And that all comes down to having that budget, working out how much can I save on a regular basis. I am also aware that not everyone has huge amounts of disposable income at the moment. So I always say, if you don't have a large amount of extra cash lying around that you can save, start small. So start with maybe £5 a week or £10 a month and build that whenever you're able to do so. Because I feel like a lot of us often associate saving with large amounts of numbers. And if we're not saving £1,000, there's no point saving, when actually that couldn't be further from the truth. I think it's really important that we start small and then grow whenever we're able to do so.
So a bit like Tesco, every little helps for...
Exactly that.
So someone's listening and they're thinking, oh, these ideas are all really great. Are there tools or apps you can suggest that they have a look at that can help them on their budgeting journey?
Definitely. So one of the great ones that I often recommend now is called, well, two actually, Emma and Snoop, and they are both designed to help you budget better. So if you're thinking, oh, Ola, I don't want to manage my finances myself, or I'm not great at Excel, then these apps allow you to do it for you. So I think long gone the days of saying you can't budget, because there's apps that do the hard work. So what they do is that they allow you to view all of your accounts in one place. They allow you to set spending restrictions, or, you know, they allow you to just, they give you alerts on how you're spending. You can track your spending through the apps. And so they're really, really great if you're maybe someone that maybe doesn't trust themselves budgeting on their own, but maybe needs a gentle aid to help them.
Yeah, so again, it's about building those strong money habits. So someone is following your tips and they've got these apps. What would you say is a good money habit that someone could develop over 2, 3, 4 years?
Ooh, honestly, I think it comes down to saving on a regular basis. Yeah. I think having that discipline, because I think once you've mastered how to save regularly, then you can then take the next step, which for most people will be investing. So if you've got the discipline built up with your habits with saving, then hopefully you would be able to feel the same with investing. And the reason why I say that is because when I talk about investing with young people, I always talk about how important it is, if you can, to invest on a regular basis, just so you can ride out the waves of volatility. So if you are able to be disciplined to save, you should hopefully be able to incorporate investing as well by, again, investing in monthly installments if you can, whether that's £5 a month, £10 a month. I think that's a really, really good habit to have.
Yeah, I love that. So, like, again, if someone is being disciplined, what additional ways could they free up a little bit of cash each month?
Ooh, that's a good question. Yeah. So I think when it comes to that, again, when we think of saving, I feel like a lot of people don't think that, you know, if it's 50p or 70p, there's no point. But a lot of platforms now allow you to round up your spending to the nearest whole pound. So if you are struggling financially, you don't have the extra £10 a month to save or invest, there are platforms now that will round up your money to the nearest whole pound, put that into a savings pot for you, and it very quickly adds up. And that's been something I've been doing for the last 3, 4 years now. Often goes towards my Christmas shopping, or like the 100 million weddings I've been going to at the moment as a guest. And so I think that can be really handy. And then there's other ways of saving money as well. So one of my favourite is checking out cashback websites. So websites like Top Cashback, Quidco, they are great if you are online shoppers. And again, what they do is that you can click on a retailer, go through their website, shop as normal, and then you'll be eligible for a certain amount of cash back, which might be 1%, £40, 20%. And again, that can go towards your future self as well.
Why is there such a financial literacy gap for young people in the UK?
So there's a big gap because when a lot of schools don't have the privilege of being taught it within lessons. And I think that is a really big issue. But as you now know, Bobby, curriculum changes are coming, which is very exciting. So hopefully from 2027, we'll be seeing, well, 2028, we'll be seeing some changes. But yeah, I think the biggest gap there is because of the fact that we're not taught it in schools. We're kind of left to our own devices. Some of us either go to university and get a big lump sum from the student loans department, or we start working our first big paycheck and we're just kind of left to work out how to manage our finance. And it's kind of like we start learning backwards once we made the mistakes. We now have to unlearn from those mistakes. So that's the reason why I do what I do, why you got the podcast and show, to kind of help people just feel a bit more empowered with their finances.
So what would you say is a myth that some young people might believe? Ooh. About money, not in life in general, like the Bigfoot and stuff, not those myths, or aliens.
I think one big myth is that if you're not rich, you can't save or invest. And I really want to try and reframe that because, like I said, even when it comes to investing now, there's platforms that allow you to start investing with as little as £1. Mm. Same with savings. You don't have to have thousands of pounds just to get started. I think once you develop those habits, saving regularly, investing regularly, then it comes second nature, and then that's where you can start increasing the amounts accordingly. But yeah, I think there's this massive preconception. I think the news doesn't help when it comes to scaremongering the next generation. But I feel like a lot of us are told, oh yeah, because you're not rich enough, then you can't do any of these things. And that's just simply not true.
Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful, especially when it comes to young people and older people's mindset. So what would you say is a key mindset that people should have in terms of being a really good budgeter and a good spender and a good saver?
I think in general, being good with your finances, I think we need to develop a wealth building mindset. Now, I say that because I feel like a lot of the UK have become great savers, but saving can only get you so far. And so I think it's really important that we look at how can we build wealth. And the real way we can build wealth is by investing in the stock market, buying assets, etc., etc. And I think that's another thing, a message that I really want to push out this year, encouraging young people to actually build wealth and not just save, because I think a lot of us have mastered the art of saving now.
Yes, I feel like in the UK, we are definitely savers. Like, there's the NSNI with the premium bonds. But compared to people in America, there's got a much bigger culture of, I've saved, I'm going to now invest that.
Yes.
So do you think in the UK, what are the small changes that people could make today to start becoming a wealth builder? One little task they could do.
Yes, good question. One, educate yourself, because I think there's a lot of information now about investing. So I think you need to get your information from reliable sources, whether that's through books or like credible sources on YouTube and the internet, and underline and emphasize credible sources. Two, choose a platform that works for you. So there's lots of different platforms out there for beginners. And Martin Lewis has a great breakdown of platforms. So whether or not you want to manage your portfolio yourself.
Martin Lewis is like the godfather of all things money in the UK.
Yeah, literally. He's my predecessor.
Yeah. Watch out, Martin. While it's coming for you.
There's platforms that will pick the stocks for you as well. Mm-hmm. And then three, I would just say, just start small. I think a lot of people always say, oh, I'm not risky enough with my money to start investing. But it's not just about risk. It's about, okay, if you feel a bit uncomfortable with the thought of investing, start with a small amount and then increase that whenever you feel comfortable.
I love that. Again, you can always start somewhere. It doesn't have to be huge. Yes. It's a small place.
Yeah.
So if they're starting small, but they're trying to build up, let's say, a emergency fund or a rainy day pot, why is this really important nowadays?
So it's really important because, firstly, I feel like I previously worked with quite a lot of people that often used to save within their current account. Mm. And for me, I just personally don't believe that is possible, because I think it's very easy to accidentally spend the money you're meant to save. And so with that, I think it's really important to have a separate savings account.
Yeah.
One, because if you open up a separate savings account, you actually earn interest on your savings. So that's free cash for you. And two, there are different types of accounts, savings accounts that you can open up. So you can get something like a fixed rate account. That means you are locking your money away for a certain amount of time, which is great for those who may be dipping in out of their savings. Or you can open up an ISA. That means you can save up to £20,000tax-free. So there's so many added benefits to having a separate savings pot outside of your current account.
Thank you, Ola. This has been a really wide-ranging conversation. We looked at budgeting, we looked at savings. You can start small. So what one thing should listeners, because there's so much gold nuggets, they should be taking notes from your conversation, but what one thing do you want them to take away from our conversation today?
Look at ways of building wealth.
Yeah.
That's my final tip, I'd say. Like I said, I think a lot of people have mastered the art of saving now. So it's about, okay, how can we take that one step further and actually build wealth? So yeah, that is my final tip.
So if people want to continue being informed by your pearls of wisdom, Ola, where should they follow you?
You can follow me at allthingsmoney_ on Instagram and TikTok. I've got a podcast, which is the All Things Money podcast. And then I've also got loads of resources on my website at www.allthingsmoney.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining Broke and How to Fix It. Hopefully people are feeling a bit more fixed after this conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Ola. It's time for a short break. But after the break, we're going to be joined by someone that covers a lot of areas. Vix Leighton, she's a consumer finance expert, host of the Spendology podcast, and also a comedian.
Broke and How to Fix It with Bobby Siegel.
On Broke and How to Fix It this week, we are really privileged. Really privileged, and I'm saying that really, because we have Vix Leighton, who is a consumer finance expert, host of the Spendology podcast, and last but not least, a comedian.
You've set me up for a fail here.
Yeah, I know.
The pressure to be funny is intense.
Because with humour, does it help make money conversations feel more approachable?
I think so. And I think my manifesto has always been, I've come from a very working class background, mm-hmm. and my parents did the best they could with the advice that they had. But it was very much financial advice and money pages and newspapers were for people who already had money.
Yeah, that's
it felt
true.
Like it wasn't for you. You'd open it and you'd see, oh, this person's made all this in investment. This person has done
this. Yeah, these smug pictures in newspapers sometimes.
I bought my house age 25. Yeah. Ask me how. My parents paid.
Yeah, it's like, always the parents, 25-year-old couples.
It'll take till paragraph 3 to get there, but you will get there. And yeah, we were just completely disengaged. Like Martin Lewis didn't really exist when I was growing up and they struggled a lot. And they, like I said, they did the best they could, but they had no help. And they made decisions that I witnessed as a teenager. And I just thought, I always thought I would love to be in a position to speak for people like my parents that were doing the best they can. I want to make sure this doesn't happen to anybody else. So it became a real passion for me.
Now, in your work, through your podcast, through your comedy work, your consumer finance expertise, do you hear some really like funny or surprising confessions from people that you encounter about money?
I think the best confessions I hear are from people who are professionals in personal finance who haven't got a handle on their own stuff.
What? This is a big...
we're all out there giving the theory. Yeah. We're all saying, do you know what you need? You need a year of savings to have a safety net. You need to be doing this, and this. And then you talk to them afterwards and they go, oh yeah, I haven't started investing yet. It's a bit scary. I've just got a sort of a cash saver.
This is scandalous.
I'm not going to name any names, but...
Afterwards you tell me.
We're all doing the best we can. We could sit the theory and pass, but when it comes to the practical, I think everybody is a work in progress with personal finance. Even the people that you consider to be brilliant with money, you scratch the surface, there'll be something that they
Martin Luther, we're coming for you, and you're spending a match of lattes.
No, I will not listen to that. This is one of the biggest, this is one of the things that frustrates me the most, in that the notion that if you cut out small delights and small, like everybody talks about little treats in this kind of scathing way, if you cut out the little treats, you can afford to buy a house. No,
that's what the media often tells us.
That is, isn't it? And I love being the person that says, do you know what? Have the coffee if it improves your day, but be aware of how much the coffee costs. Yes. Like, you don't have to make your sandwiches at home, because unfortunately, it's not our fault. It is not our fault that we don't have enough money at the moment. The economy is fully against us. Our money is not worth what it used to be, even in the last few years. And people are working really hard and they're feeling really down on themselves and thinking, I don't understand why I haven't got this. My parents had this. Everybody else seems to have this. But the odds are against us. When you look at inflation, when you look at the cost of things, when you look at the cost of a pint, I was Googling this morning how much a pint cost when Oasis did Nebworth.
Oh.
Because it costs £22.50 to get the Oasis ticket to Nebworth.
£22.50, that's it.
£1.70, the average pint. And that is, you know, that's in our time. And it feels like when my dad was telling me that a house costs like 20 shillings, like that's how ridiculous it feels. But I feel like it's very easy and it makes sense from a kind of government level almost to make people feel that they are personally responsible for the situation they're in so they don't rock the boat a little bit too much. But
it's not, it's a lot of things beyond our control.
It's not the coffees. It's not the avocado toast.
Yeah.
You know, financial education is huge. It is a responsibility that I think we should be taking very, very seriously. There is certainly more that people could be doing to make the most of the money that they've got. Mm-hmm. But the reason they haven't got a lot in the first place, it is not our fault. And I think that is
such an important message for people. It's not your fault. You can't control inflation. You can't control lack of wages rising.
It frustrates me. I did some research with Think Money recently about how much people actually need in the event of a financial crisis. Because like I said, I have been hearing people quote, you need 12 months of wages. Yeah. You know, you should put 12 months of wages aside so you can feel completely safe from financial disaster. I can't put 12 months of wages aside. I can't imagine a point in the near future I'll be able to. So I wanted to look at, okay, what is the average financial catastrophe? And it's around £700. It's like, do you know what? That immediately feels
like
better.
It's like a boiler.
You don't have to have 20 grand in the account. But if you can get somewhere towards 700, you are going to be covered for the average crisis, whether that's your boiler breaking down, whether that's your pet needing surgery or a tooth falling out. And I think it's reassuring. And I think it's important to make people believe that whatever small thing they do is still worth doing. Because I think it feels so overwhelming at the moment. You should be doing this. You should have started saving when you were born.
When your parents first met, you know that first dance they had? You should have started saving then. Then you would be sorted.
Remember Freshers Week?
Yeah.
You should have opened an ISA.
Exactly. You should have been investing in NVIDIA then. Why not? Also, I know they didn't exist then, but you should have invested in NVIDIA.
Also, why did you take out a student loan, you absolute mug? Don't you know it costs 10 times what you're paying back to pay it back? It's like we're being told that it's already too late. And I think my message is very much, it is never too late. I started investing last year because Brian Burns from Moneybox told me that I should. And I believed him. And he said, because I said, Brian, how do I get started? Yeah. And he said, Vix, just put £100 in the stocks and shares. I said, just £100 and watch it. And I am obsessed with it now.
Okay.
So it's those little steps. And I think we need to be telling people what the little steps are.
The little steps, they do add up. When we're talking about people and their spending, budgeting is one of the first things that most people encounter. Why are humans, we just feel like we're just not good at sticking to budgets? What's wrong with us?
I think we'd set the bar too high.
Yeah.
And I think that, again, it's the same thing. You feel like you have to be doing now the very most that you can do.
Yeah.
Rather than, even if I save £1 today in a jar, that is better than I did yesterday. We set the bar so high and we believe it. It's like New Year's resolutions. You go in, you believe it. You go, right, do you know what? I'm not going to do anything this week. I'm just going to stay in. I'm going to eat super noodles and I'm going to put away.
No shade on super noodles. Super noodles can be...
In the right, drop an egg in it. You feel like Gordon Ramsay. But it's, you know, and how I started saving is I used a Roundup app.
Yeah.
So every pound I spent, it would round up the pence in that transaction. Because the psychology of it apparently is, in your mind, you've already rounded that up. So you've already mentally spent that money. If it's 70p, if it's 13p, you've rounded it up, you've already spent it. So you're not going to miss it. Whereas if you're having to physically go, here's £200, I'm going to move it from one account to the other, you feel the pain of that. You feel what it could buy in a way that you don't when it's a few p. Like I could drop 15p and, you know, if it was right next to me, I'd pick it up. But if it rolled into the drain, I would not go for it. People think budgeting means you have to get rid of everything that is fun. And we're too hard on ourselves. And as soon as we fall off the wagon, it's the same as dieting. As soon as you fall off the wagon, you throw it all away and go, well, that's it then. Rather than going, okay, well, that didn't work out so well, I'll start again tomorrow. And I think we just need to get into that kind of little and often mindset. Because these habits, when you set them up, they stick.
Yes.
And I just think we expect so much of ourselves. The world's hard and it's tiring. And I think the other thing that you need to do with budgeting as well, it's not about how much you can go without. It's about making your money go as far as it can. So I'm a real believer of voucher codes and cash back.
Yeah.
Free money is my favorite money. I love compensation. Before we started the show, I was telling you how excited I was to claim delay repay.
Delay repay is exciting. You're like, you're getting your trains like 15 minutes. Come on. Please be delayed.
14 minutes is the worst unit of time on a train because they're not going to pay up. But I think people get, again, they think if you haven't been paying attention, you think it's a lot of hassle. You think, I don't want to print a voucher. You don't have to print a voucher now. It's usually a QR code. You don't have to go through an endless process to claim money back. It's really easy. And I think there was a long time where places made it incredibly difficult. But those days have gone. And now we're in a position where people want your business, where businesses want your custom. And we're in a very powerful position. I think you look at things at the value of loyalty schemes, for example, and you see they need our money more than ever. Yes. We're in a really powerful position as consumers. And if you haven't got money to put away, let's see if we can shave some off the money that you're spending. And I think, again, these are goals that feel a lot more from a kind of gamification point.
Yeah.
They feel more like wins than going without. Yeah. And I think we just need to sort of get our heads into that at the same time.
And I get a mindset. So with spending, are there traps that young people, to be honest, anyone falls into? Like, is it the coupons? They're like, oh, all these are discounted. I'm going to buy twice as much as I need to.
Definitely. And I think my advice for that is, particularly with supermarkets where it's 3 for 2, is I get excited about these as well. It's like, check the unit price on the shelf and check how much the individual item is. It's only a good deal if you need it. If you don't need 3 tins of beans and you only need one, then paying another 40p to get a third tin, which is still cheaper than buying all three, that's not a win for you. That's a win for the shop because you've bought one more thing and they've got another pound out of you. So you've got to start treating it like a bit of a game where there's points to be won, I think, in that.
I like that. So if you treat like your budgeting and spending as a you're in a real life game show.
Exactly.
A game of budgeting.
That's my life. And I know, genuinely, I'm all for it. And I think buy now, pay later is a bit of a spectre at the moment, yeah, in terms of it has become, like, I call it pink fluffy debt. Because you don't realise, like, when you have to take out a credit card, it feels grown up and very serious. But when you're being offered at the checkout, why don't you pay a third of this now and then pay another bit next week? Unless you know that you're going to be in a different financial situation next week.
Yeah.
You know, if you need to split a delivery into three easy payments.
Yeah.
Maybe you look at the super noodles.
Yeah,
again,
you might need to split that pizza into three sections.
And I think it has become really prolific in a way that the last time I saw it probably was when I was at uni, and they were giving credit cards to people on the steps of the union on Freshers Week, and I took out a credit card in exchange for a free popcorn machine.
Was it a good popcorn machine, though?
I never even used it, but I had that credit card for about 5 years.
Wow.
And
it worked.
It worked, but you know, it was irresponsible. Same with store cards. Mm. We all remember not all of us, but some of us will remember the year of store cards where you'd go in somewhere like New Look or River Island and they'd say, you don't have to pay anything today.
Mm. Ooh, sounds good.
And that wasn't a financial advisor behind the till. That was somebody who was incentivized to get you to accept debt. And I think there's a risk that we're falling into that trap again. And it is something that I really hope to know. Just like bell-bottom jeans. It was something I really hoped was never going to come back into style, but it seems like that we are
there. It's back
and we've never been broker and it's never looked more compelling. And I think there is a real risk in culturally us accepting this as a way to pay without scrutiny. And I know there's work being done behind the scenes, but it's happening at a glacial pace.
Yeah,
and I think by the time we really get a sense of how this is playing out, and that's not just young people, it's everybody. You know, who doesn't want it for free now? I'm a cautionary tale for this, and I am the person when you're just like, oh, personal finance experts that don't take their own advice.
Oh, are you?
It's me.
Oh, like, you're just talking about yourself,
I'm not totally, but what happened to me a few years ago is I bought straighteners on a buy now, pay next
year
deal.
Your hair's very straight. Listeners, Vic's got very straight hair.
Thank you. But I bought it on a buy now, pay later. When the year was up, it started taking the minimum payment from me. I was paying for that straightener, I think, for about 2 years, because it was such an incremental amount that I didn't even notice it just go out. And you know how quickly time passes and how easy it is for a year to go by and you've not realised. And it was only when I was going through my finances, doing what I advise people, I was like, I need to sit down and look at my direct debits, look at everything that's going out. I thought, surely I've paid this off by now. Like, they're quite expensive straighteners, but surely I've paid it off by now.
Yes.
And I had been paying £20 of interest and about £5 off the actual collateral for that whole time.
Gosh.
So I paid probably about £1,000 for some straighteners that I have used.
The best straighteners that you ever had.
I mean, nothing's £1,000 good. And I think that's again, there's like, it's a really sort of pious, like, personal finance thing to say. It's like, have a finance date with yourself. Sit down on a Friday evening and look at everything you spend. Like, you don't have to do it every week, but do it more than I did at that time. And it taught me a lesson. And I've been really on top of things since. The only thing that probably slips through the net, and I know you talked about this recently, is subscriptions on my phone.
Yeah.
That has been the biggest offender for me recently, where free trials have slipped into.
Because it's so easy. Because you think, oh, it's 21 days free, I'll try it out. And then the day after, you're like, oh, $12.99.
And do you know what? Just cancel on the day.
Yeah.
You can cancel immediately.
Yes.
You don't even need to wait for the 21 days. You go straight in, you cancel it. And do you know what? If you enjoyed it, you can toggle it back on. They're fine with that. But if you want a free trial, kill it as soon as you've set it up, because that is the easiest way to do it. But Apple particularly, where it's just like, Apple Pay, $5.99. And I would be like, that seems like none of my business. Like, because it doesn't say, because you don't get, you've paid for this. Mm. You just get Apple Pay. I was paying for a lot of things like photo editing apps that I tried once and I didn't like.
Yeah, so we're going to get into some quick fire questions. But before that, just on that impulse purchase spending, what advice would you give to someone who is prone to seeing this, that looks like a really nice hairdryer, I'm going to go and buy that, even though they've got two already?
Give it 24 hours. And if you are still thinking about it in 24 hours' time, give yourself permission. Do you know what? 99% of the time it won't be. I mean, yeah. Always price check. If it's a deal and you don't want to walk away from it for 24 hours, price check it. Yeah. You will probably be surprised. Yeah,
and be careful. Like, I tried to buy recently a pair of really cool mittens, like incredible pattern.
Okay.
But I bought it and it said, there's no refunds. I'm like, it's fine. It's only £5. It was the PDF for the pattern for the mittens.
Oh, yes.
I'm a sucker too.
Oh, my goodness. Sorry. Things like Temu and Shein. I treat them like scratch cards, yeah. Right? I pay the investment, yeah. And I just think sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. I'm not saying don't use them.
Yeah.
Because I have won a couple of times, but probably not at the rate that I've lost.
Yeah, I think today I definitely lost. So time for some quick fire questions. Right, okay. So we've got four of these. Let's see how you do.
All right.
Not quizzes, but just your opinions. So a spending habit people should rethink.
Oh, God. That's that.
You're not going to say your coffees, are you?
No, I absolutely won't. Gym memberships where you have to subscribe for 12 months. There's a rolling. There'll always be a rolling offer available. Go on a rolling, even if the monthly rate is cheaper than the annual.
Yeah.
Like, it's worth giving it a try.
Test
yourself. Like, go somewhere. If it's £40 a month, monthly, but it's £300 for the year, £140.
Yes.
If you're still going, by all means, take the year out. But do not commit to a year of something to save a little bit of money if you're not absolutely certain that you're going to commit.
I like that. That's very good advice. A common impulse buy. Common.
I'm terrible for books. I buy loads of books and then I never get around to them. So, and magazines as well. I love the idea of sitting down with a magazine, but unless I'm stuck on a train for 3 hours, I'm not going to do it. So I think, But also support the print industry. So
buy books.
Buy books and don't read them.
Yes. And the final one is one simple habit that will help control spending.
Being mindful of prices, like price checking.
Yes.
Price check everything. If it's over £10, it's worth a quick Google. We've all got access to the internet on our phones now. Price check everything and make sure you check the postage and packaging because that can sometimes edge you out.
Yeah, very clever. Well, thank you, Vic Slayton. That's been such a uplifting, funny, riotously informative conversation.
Is it over already? I'm having such a nice time.
Yeah, just we started. Are. So if you wanted to hear more of your knowledge and your consumer finance bomb dropping, is that how you say it? Dropping bombs? Dropping
truth bombs.
Truth bombs, that's it. The truth bopping, truth bombing.
T-shirt cannoning.
T-shirt cannoning of finance expert stuff. Where should they find you?
I'm on socials. They're all Vic Slayton. That's LEYTON, like Leighton Orient. Mm-hmm. I'm doing an Edinburgh Fringe show that I'm doing work in progresses for at the moment. It's called Chief Petty Officer.
Ooh.
And I have looked at the psychology and cultural significance of pettiness, and I've plotted the perfect petty act on a graph.
Love this.
Because petty acts, the perfect petty act is you can reach it, but it's important to not go too far. And that's where all the problems start. And I look at sort of historically petty acts that have gone too far. And as a consumer champion who advocates for people to claim a pound back from British Rail, I feel like I am the perfect authority for this. So look out for Chief Petty Officer as well.
Well, thank you. Well, good luck with that. And thank you so much for joining Broke and How to Fix It. So now it's time to break down those conversations that we had with our two fabulous guests, where we look at insights that they've made, but give you some practical steps. So firstly, we had Ola Majkademe, the founder of All Things Money. And obviously, she talked about various budgeting tools, like the 50, 30, 20, the iconic rule. But with that, you can obviously start building up a savings pot, you know, your emergency fund, rainy day fund. But the key thing is, rather than just sticking it in a regular savings account, think about building wealth. Because if you really want to transform your financial prospects, that money has to do something. So in order to do that, again, you can start small. But to build wealth, you have to allocate it to things that are a bit riskier, that are investing. And again, you start small and you start building that journey, because saving in itself doesn't do anything. But if you translate the saving in towards allocating it towards investing assets, that is the start of a real journey. We spoke with consumer finance expert Vic Slayton, and she's someone that has worked as a consumer finance expert, but only in the past year has started investing. So actually, it's never too late to start. But the key thing is, in this modern environment, is obviously you should be conscious about what you're spending your money on. Because we know there's inflation, our wages aren't rising as highly as they used to. But don't feel guilty about the small spending. Your coffee, your matcha latte, these things are not going to bust your budget. Obviously, if you're buying 10 coffees a day, one, you might have a caffeine addiction, but your budget might get challenged. But on the whole, the small things, enjoy them. That's what makes life fun. But as long as you're aware of the spending, small things are not going to completely shift the boat. Time for this week's money myth and hot take, where we challenge a common belief or viral piece of advice. So the myth this week is, budgeting is too time consuming to be worth it. And is that true? Let's find out. So I think this actually is quite ironic, because, you know, a lot of people, they do say, oh, budgeting is just, I haven't got time for that. But you know what? These very same people, they will spend hours and hours worrying about their money. So what do they need to do? And I think it is, budgeting doesn't mean they've got to track every single purchase. You don't need to be a government official looking at every single item on the list. I think it's about just giving yourself the time to have a basic budget. It can be as simple as half an hour. Get a pen and paper. I know there are apps nowadays. There are spreadsheets you can use, but just get any piece of pen and paper and have a simple structure. Again, what is your income? Your job, any side hustles? Then maybe step two, what are the essentials you spend your money on? All of us have to live somewhere, so your rent or mortgage, all the bills, whether it's your broadband or phone. Then you think about, we eat, your food, and then we travel, your transport. These are the essentials. And then thirdly, you look at the lifestyle. Obviously, we enjoy spending money on food in terms of restaurants. We might go to the cinema. We might go to watch football games. And we might indulge in the odd bit of shopping, retail therapy. And then finally, step four, you look at savings. What money can you allocate to your future self? And if you break it down like this, it's not that intimidating, because I think budgeting is not about trying to be perfect and trying to be, you know, Martin Lewis, obviously, he talks, you know, these are the gods and goddesses of money saving. But you don't have to be like that. You just need to be aware that budgeting takes, I think, the burden off your future self. But you can start now with small little steps. Each week, we give you one move that you can take to improve your personal finance. So this week, we are telling you, pick one spending category that you know you overspend on, and then give yourself a specific limit for the next month. So just one, not the entire budget. And I'll tell you why this can work. So you can think about your different spending categories. So for example, it could be your takeaways or your taxis or online shopping or your coffees. Pick one of them and then set a specific limit for the next month. And I'll tell you why this works, because if you are trying to be like a puppet master and control everything all at once, it's not going to work. And our behavior, it actually changes best when we keep it really simple, quite focused, and actually measurable. So instead of saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to spend less money on my food takeaways because I keep on spending loads of money. Yeah, fine. But come up with something that's more focused and measurable. So it could be, okay, this month I'm going to spend a maximum of £60 on takeaways. Because this means after you've, let's say, spent 15 quid, 15 quid, 15 quid on three takeaways, that's 45 quid. Maybe that fourth takeaway you're thinking, oh, I'm approaching my limit. And that one small change, I think, beats a perfect plan. Because perfect plans, we know that you don't follow. You make a mistake and you feel really upset. So the one move this week is to pick a spending category that you overspend on and then set a specific limit for the next month. Good luck with that step. And we are coming to a close of this week's episode. And we've had two really brilliant guests, Ola Magikademe and Vix Leighton. And they've shared their ideas and tips about budgeting, spending. And genuinely, they've made me feel that you've got an honest perspective about how to approach your income and expenditure in budgeting. So thank you so much for listening to Broke and How to Fix It on FUBAR Radio with me, Bobby Seagull. Make sure you tune in again next week, Monday at 4 p.m, because we're going to keep on upgrading your finance sense.
That was Broke and How to Fix It with Bobby Seagull.